welcome to another episode of Multiverse Musings, the vidcast, and Krypton's Legacy, a Superman podcast. As always, I'm your host, Adam. With me is Steven. And back again for another dose of Superman conversation, Mario Francisco Robles. Mario, how's it going?
I am so happy to be back. This is the third one now. And do you guys want to say what we're planning on doing on a weekly basis?
Yeah, I think we're going to... everybody seems to love when Mario's here. We're gonna keep him here. We're gonna lock him up in the fortress and bring him out.
He's on Money Maker.
So that's what I was gonna say. It's great to be back here for a third go, and the first two went so well that we were talking about it, and we're gonna do a recap like this every week after every episode of Superman and Lois, and I'm very excited to do this because I love kind of going through all the little nuts and bolts of every episode. So
yeah, let's do it. Also, we're going to have a lot more episodes because the news is that it's gotten renewed.
Yes.
For season two. Yeah. So, I mean.
Man and Lois season two.
I reckon that was already a thing, but they're just waiting to announce it.
First of all, it's the CW. Let's be honest. They don't cancel anything unless five people are watching. I mean.
Yeah, but even the things they do cancel, they still let them finish. Yeah.
So, I mean, it was just a matter of time, but to see the response and see how well the ratings did, and the people's perception of it, I just think no matter where the movie goes or the comics go, we know we're gonna have two seasons of a Superman product at least, and that makes me smile. So,
oh yeah.
So yeah, that we're gonna have lots to cover.
Before
we get to the actual show, there is another version of Superman that we're gonna be seeing. March 18th, it's the Zack Snyder Justice League 4-hour mega event.
Magnum opus.
Yeah, that's the word I was thinking of. Thank you. It's all there. It's a 4-hour thing. And we've got new, apparently, what they're going to be releasing. I don't know how frequent he's going to be doing this, but Snyder himself has said there's going to be five kind of character trailers. As we lead up to March 18th. And the first one was, the other half of my favorite fictional characters of all time was Batman-centric. And there was a little bit of Superman in there.
Yes, there was.
Basically, the scene was largely featuring Superman helping Batman up from what appears to be that nuclear reactor thing. Mm.
They can have the big hero shot of all six of them looking down. You know, that very well-known hero shot. Now we see the establishing moment before it, where, Superman extends a hand and helps, Bruce up onto his feet so they could stand there together. Although, I got to say, as wonderful as that is, somebody made a joke that I can't, unthink about now, which is just, I wonder how long the rest of the team's been waiting for Bruce to get up there.
Yeah, they're probably not.
You just see Clark in the very end, like, I got you, I'll help you up now. But it took him a very long time to get up there.
Flash, so anyway, I could take care of this in about 2 seconds. I can just go get him.
Yeah.
He was probably like, I should have got to tell that.
I swear. Don't do the hero shot without me.
I'm just having a rest.
You know,
tells Alfred to get the flying fox to start it circle around a few times.
you know what made me laugh? Is it reminded me of the theatrical version. I know that's sacrilege for some people.
But
where he said, when he told Wonder Woman, I'm getting too old for this.
Yeah,
this is why he had to climb up the whole
actually side. I'm glad you said that, because now you're going to let me, I'm going to sneak in a cheap plug here. I actually recorded an audio commentary for the theatrical cut of Justice League yesterday, and I'm going to be releasing that at some point in the next week or so in anticipation of the Snyder cut. So I have a lot to say about that theatrical cut, but
We recorded one, didn't we? A couple of that's getting released on. I think I'm going to do it the Sunday before.
So we have dueling audio commentaries. We
can all relive the space and time.
We're all just burying this movie together.
We didn't kill it. We didn't kill it. Yeah.
No, there were some parts we kind of stuck up for, and there were parts where you're like, I can't defend. I can't defend this.
Yeah, I got you.
The Batman fan in me started cringing at certain moments. It's like, why? Why?
Why?
Haven't I been through enough with Batman and Robin? Anyway, but my favorite things about this this little piece regarding Superman, Superman and Batman together, and then they're kind of in that little little instance. It was so nice to see them not trying to kill each other.
Great, you know.
Right? So and also seeing Henry without that ridiculous mouth was a breath of fresh air. Yeah. So let's say bring on March 18th.
Yes.
And Stephen and I have said on this show, the only chance that anybody has for any more of this is if you watch it legally and play it often. You know, have it on in the background. While you're having dinner, do the dishes, leave it on all night.
But something else though too, because HBO Max, I mean, all these streamers, they pay attention to the retention rate when they get a new subscription. So like if you just sign up for HBO Max and then cancel it right after the Snyder Cut comes out, if you've seen it, that's not going to help.
They
want to see that not only did this bring us an audience, but it brought us an audience that stayed with us and is investing in us, then let's keep giving them their content.
Yeah.
If you come in and you're a very fair weather fan and you come in, I'm just here for this, and then you leave, you're not getting a sequel. So that's another thing to remember. Yeah. You gotta actually stick with the service. That's why you may want to do like that 6 month pre-buyout. Because like if you're there for 6 months, then they know you're serious, you know?
Yeah.
But either way, but that's important too. Like there's been articles breaking down that statistic that people don't really realize that it's not just about streaming the movie, it's also about how long you actually keep the service.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So
I can't get it because I'm in UK though, so
But you have the releasing it via whatever.
Well, POD. The only thing I'm worried about is the page that tells you all the release dates. It still says to be determined for UK, so I'm like, oh my god, please do not do this to me.
Well, we have that Crave here in Canada that you said is like a cereal over there.
Yeah, we have a
our streaming service is the name of a cereal apparently.
Well.
But we're getting on there, so I might as well wake up nice and early. Have a glass of milk and cookies with the cereal option and then watch it. So
we'll it's see. One of them as well, isn't it? Like the sequels are kind of unlikely because a lot of things have to come together, but for the opportunity to have that chance,
people have to
support.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
don't quite go like Scott and buy every bit of merchandise there
is. Listen, I don't know how he does it, man. He must have Bruce Wayne on speed dial and be like, okay, I need another 12 shirts. But good on him. It's going for a good cause. So,
yeah, it is. Yeah,
good stuff.
Yes.
For the fans that are and, positive and supportive and doing, you know, good things like
absolutely,
you know, my hat's off to you. So let's get ready to enjoy that. But in the meantime,
just one more thing about the clip, right? And I know this isn't. I'm not having a dig at the Snyder version of Superman, but it was kind of nice to see him happy as well. Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Don't you?
Yeah.
He was very miserable in BVS, wasn't he? Which was part of the story. I'm okay with it, but it's nice to see him kind of with a smile on his face, and he kind of gives me hope at the end of the film. because we know there's going to be a cliffhanger. There's probably going to be that moment where they're all kind of everything's the world's saved, but then something's going to happen. So it's not going to be like. They're going to think they've saved it, and then the second after, everything blows up, and they're like...
Darkseid's going to come out of a boom tube saying, hold my beer, and he's going to get it.
And I guess for me, I'm like, I just have weird feelings about the black suit. I know everyone's so excited about the black freaking suit. We already saw him in the dream sequence in Man of Steel, by the way. If you want to see him in an actual movie with a black suit, we've seen it. Being swallowed up by skulls in the ground, you know.
Right,
anyway. But I don't know, for me, I just wonder, are they going to explain why he's wearing a black suit? Are they going to explain that it's, to help restore his powers? Are they going to use the comic book stuff? Or is he just arbitrarily wearing a black suit? Because for me, I guess it's just, when I saw that closing thing, for me, it feels like an odd clash to see happy Superman helping Bruce up after they've seemingly defeated the enemy of the movie or whatever. But he's still in the black. I guess just to me, it's just what is the deal with the black suit? Is it just they decided we want to wear a black suit this time? Or are they going to actually explain it? So I guess that's just my thing. I'm just curious.
Yeah. And this isn't a dig at Snyder. I think Snyder sometimes is a bit too subtle for his own good. But he probably, because it is in the comics, it serves a specific purpose, doesn't it? Where, like you say, it brings more energy because it
absorbs the energy.
Yeah. So knowing Snyder, more sunlight, I don't think he will. Because I think sometimes Snyder lets you fill in the blanks because, in Man of Steel, when he goes there and the suit's there, you kind of just make your own kind of thing why it's there.
Suit's just there. Yeah.
So I get the feeling he'll probably just choose that suit. And then Because sometimes for me, and this is something that does bug me a little about Snyder, sometimes I think afterwards he explains something, and I'm like, but that's not in the film, so that's...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's more like headcanon in it than... So, but I've really grown the black suit, because when I was not sold on it until that trailer, and then since then I've been like all over the black suit. So
I think it looks great. Like if you just show me a picture of it, like, oh, that looks pretty cool. But I'm just curious. Yeah, like, you know, is it going to be story, or is it just, oh, this looks cool? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
my guess is it just Snyder thinks it looks cool. And again, it's not a dig at him. So nobody sent me hate mail.
You guys have to be so, like, careful not to say everything's not safe.
It's not because
if you don't say it just right, here comes the mob
is going to come after you.
We shouldn't have to do that, because I love the Snyder films, but there's little things in there I don't like.
You always have to cover your tracks, because people go, well, you've said 99 nice things about Snyder. But you said attempted. So I'm going to show you a tweet from 5 years ago. Like, you know, people are just out of their minds with this stuff. So that's why, like, I'm so tired of walking on eggshells.
Sean's had some of that, hasn't he? Because Sean didn't like Man of Steel, but he likes it now. So he's obviously changed his mind. He's like, you're not allowed to change your mind.
I change my mind, for God's sakes. You know, like, every time I watch it, my mind changes.
You can change your opinion. You can see something and realize, oh, I was just having a bad day when I first saw this. I love this movie. People get so like, this is all to say that while I'm excited for March 18th, and I hope this is a wonderful experience, I also hope that we can all start being able to, like, discuss Zack Snyder and his films without fear of retribution once this movie comes out. You know what I mean? Like, you got the movie, we fulfilled his vision, now let's just, you know, let's stop walking on eggshells. Everyone is allowed to have an opinion that's not glowing all the time. Okay?
Exactly. Enjoy what you enjoy and let others do the same. Simple.
Exactly. Love what you love and don't hate anything, period. Just love, don't worry about
if you just, because this is the thing, sorry, we can move on a sec, but I think sometimes people don't let people be critical. I get it if someone's going, oh, Snyder's... Some people say stuff about Snyder that's ridiculous.
Oh, of course.
It seems like one of the nicest guys in the world, but people think he's like the son of Satan.
Yeah, and those people deserve the pitchforks and the outrage. Yes.
But then if somebody just... I've said this before. If somebody doesn't like something, even if I like it, just because they don't like it, that don't mean that they're wrong for not liking it. It's just their opinion, isn't it? So.
Exactly. There it is.
But yeah.
Sorry, and I just had to say that, because both of you said, like, between the two of you, like, seven times, and this is not a dig at Snyder.
Well, because we know we've been there before.
We all have, like, that battered dog syndrome. They're going to come for me.
I didn't like one scene. Here come the attacks.
Well, never mind that we just spent 10 minutes talking nice things about the Snyder cut. No.
That'll be ignored. That'll be ignored. But In the meantime, we do have a wonderful continuation of the Superman story via Superman and Lois, and episode 2 aired on Tuesday. And just in general terms, Mario, how are you feeling after episode 2?
I'm feeling great, because honestly, there was a little bit of concern, because, like, after such a strong premiere, you know, a part of me was like, can they possibly maintain that level of quality, you know? And on top of that, you know, for the premiere of any show, a lot of times the first episode, like, they're throwing a lot at you just to show you the full potential of what this show could be, so that they can convince you to keep watching. And then after there, things kind of slow down a bit. You know what I mean? So I'm like, you know, the premiere might stand on its own as this great thing. Let's see if it actually carries over into a decent series. And guys, I mean, the quality didn't dip at all. I loved it. I know we're going to get into specifics, but overall, suffice it to say, I loved it. And it's nice to know that, like, this is apparently what this series is. Last week wasn't a fluke. This is the type of show we're getting, and I'm just ready.
Steven?
Yeah, so obviously we all loved the pilot, didn't we? I actually think this episode was better than the pilot. I thought the balance things a little bit better. Again, the pilot was almost perfect, but I thought they got, for me, the pilot, the Superman stuff wasn't, I thought the Superman stuff was better this week, is what I was going to try and get at. I did like the Superman stuff in the pilot, but
I know what you mean.
I just absolutely loved it, and I'm on board for this show. I mean, I would be anyway, because it's Superman, but I'm on board of it, and like I'm impressed at the same time. I'm not just enjoying it, I'm blown away. So
for me, there was I had a little bit of, not much, but a little bit of apprehension like Mario had, just because I remember Smallville had a fantastic pilot.
Yeah.
And then we had Bug Boy in episode 2. And it's like,
I love that episode.
Please don't give me Bug Boy. Tuesday at 7:58, I was like, please don't give me Bug Boy. Please don't give me Bug Boy. And they didn't give me Bug Boy.
They didn't give you Bug Boy.
I don't know how many times I say this every time I'm watching an episode. I'm like, I can't believe this is on TV. I can't and then I see a commercial and it's like, I hate commercials. And then it's another round of all the commercials.
Yeah, so it's just a loop of those emotions.
I talk to my TV a lot, folks. If you have any good doctors, please recommend them.
This is an intervention. We're just pretending to do a Superman podcast.
I see what's going on here. But no, I just, like, to me, they're just, it's a constant reminder of why. Like a second week in a row where, hey, remember Superman? This is why you fell in love with him when you were 9 years old.
Yeah.
And I had that feeling again at the end of the episode. And I have a further statement to make, but I'll make that at the end. That's part of my sign off and my final thought. I feel like Jerry Springer now. No throwing chairs here, but I love it. They're 2 for 2 in terms of episodes.
They really are. And here they continue to do like some of the world building and, you know, it's nothing has yet to disappoint, you know, I mean, I feel like the one thing that I was like surprised about was more so, I mean, I'm sure we're going to get to it, but like when they showed Jor-El, I think I was surprised that it wasn't like a more well-known actor or something. I guess I'm just used to Jor-El being kind of like
being the Marlon Brando standard.
Yeah. So I'm like, this guy. So I think that was the only thing I saw where I was like, but that was it, you know, but we'll get there. But overall, it's so good.
So I want to kind of start off with, because last week...
Are we leaping over the spoiler wall now?
Yeah, okay. If you haven't seen the episode, here's what you do. First of all, why haven't you seen the episode? Second of all, how dare you not watch this episode? But now that I've said all that, now that I've read you the riot act, pause this show, go watch the episode, and then come back and finish listening to the show.
They have to watch it on the CW app because that episode's 3 minutes longer.
Yeah, so it's an extended release. I don't know what the hashtag would be.
Yeah, I heard about that, yeah.
I'm not going to go there. No more hashtag. So if you haven't seen it, spoilers are coming. So if you want to be spoiled, stay. If not, go watch and then come back. Ready? There's the PSA. Now we're going to talk spoilers. Okay, so last time we started with, you know, Superman, and we were gushing about, you know, Superman more than anybody else. So I thought, if it's okay with you guys, and we'll go a little bit out of order, let's tackle Lois's story first.
How about the fact right off the bat, the narration in the beginning was her this time. You know, for the premiere, the first voice you hear is narrator Clark going, you know, my most vivid memories. And then this time it opens with Lois's voice. It's like, oh, cool. So I guess, you know, it really shows you that the two of them are the central driving force.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they call it Superman and Lois, but this still seems to be very much a Superman series. But in this episode, it kind of shows you, like, oh, no, they are going to kind of split the focus to a degree.
It's really interesting to watch her as she's doing that narration.
Yeah.
Kind of adjust and, you know, and put her mindset into the space of, this is not the big city anymore. Like, it's almost used to, but it's different at the same time. Because we've never seen... Yes, Superman Returns, so I can't say never seen her. But we've never seen Lois the mother on this scale. I mean, I'll defend what's her name? Kate Bosworth to a degree. But I'm sorry, she brought her kid to a bowl with Lex Luthor. What did you think was going to happen?
Lex Luthor,
for God's sake, you know, not the Pope. So we've never seen Lois the mother, in this context. And not only do we see her as the mother and trying to, again, balance, you know, the stuff that Jordan and Jonathan are going through, you know, and all that kind of stuff, but she's also, we get to see her in her element doing the reporting thing, being the tough as nails, asking all the right but difficult questions. And I was just, every time she was doing that, I was like, this, like, this interpretation of Lois is clicking with me on every single level so far.
Yeah, she's rapidly becoming, I think, like one of the best on-screen Loises. Like it's in like record time here. You know, she's really nailing it on so many levels.
Yeah, I was a bit concerned at the start that she was going to be kind of not happy living there, but because they did it in the montage and she adjusted to be... Not, obviously, it would be hard to adjust going from that life to that life, but you kind of saw her, it's like Lois sees the opportunity and everything. And she got excited about like the changes, and I thought that was good, because we obviously know, like, in this episode, Jonathan struggles with it. And I thought, oh, we're going to have an episode where Lois is going to be kept, but she kind of just got over it like pretty quickly, basically, as well, trying to get out. So that was kind of nice to see.
Yeah, and just like there were two moments that really solidified, you know, what I consider vintage Lois Lane for me. And that was the moment at the town hall meeting where she just called, you know, Morgan Edge on his BS.
Yeah.
And said, yeah, you tried this before. And look at what went down with that town, right? Like, you left them in shambles. And then when she realized that they rewrote her story to make it a puff piece for Morgan Edge, she went in there and like dropped her resignation on the desk and be like, this is the best thing I've wrote since you took over.
Yeah.
And then he reads it and all says, I quit.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is Lois. Like, it's just quintessential Lois. And I haven't been this happy with a Lois Lane portrayal. Oh, this is so hard to do. Because I'm torn, because there was Terry Hatcher, who to me was great. And then there's Erica Durance, who, despite it being a different setting in Smallville,
she's my favorite.
She still did the role so much better. So she's right up there with those two. And it just, like, I haven't seen this Lois since 1997 and 2011, respectively. This is the last time I've seen a Lois that I've liked this much. I'm not going to disparage Kate Bosworth any further. I'm not going to talk too much on Amy Adams, because that might get me in trouble. But I'll just say what I said there and leave it at that. But yeah, she's great. And go on.
No, I was going to say, like, and I also just kind of love this continued subtext from the show of, like, we're taking these characters you know and putting them in scenarios you're very unfamiliar with. You know, in the first one, I mean, they kill off Martha and Clark Kent gets fired from the Daily Planet. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what? And then Lois Lane, intrepid reporter, quits the Daily Planet happily as a happy plot point in episode 2. Like, they're inverting expectations here. They're like showing you, like, none of this is going to be like the cliche Superman series that you've seen all kinds of versions of over the years. Yeah. But here, this is really like, we're going to show everyone on a completely sort of different trajectory, on a different arc.
Yeah.
Coming from a different place. And yet, with all the stuff that you know, that's in the history, that's in their DNA, but now we're pushing past that. Like, I love the continued kind of emphasis from the storytelling on that, on these new settings. And I can't wait to see now what Lois does at the Smallville Gazette and how she kind of like uses her voice and her platform now to fight for the common man. Because that's what they're setting her up for here to do. And it's kind of amazing.
Yeah,
got that Dusty Rhodes song in my head now. It's just a common man.
Like, it's just Dusty Rhodes. Yeah, come on, baby.
Only on this podcast can you find wrestling and Superman references correlating back and forth.
I was just gonna say the Lois scene in the town hall.
Yeah.
That bit was brilliant. I actually loved how, because I thought Morgan Edge was a prick, but I liked him. It was a good prick.
The way he
twisted it, so like he made her look bad, didn't he? In that scenario, I thought that was such a good villain.
And that's what like a scummy political billionaire does to reporters, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then
they did it without winking at the crowd, at the audience, saying,
"Yeah,
who does this remind you of?" Like another show has a person that wears an S on their chest, which I won't reference.
Well, I wonder what it could be.
Which one could it be? The other thing that just on the Lois point, you see all of her stuff in the episode and she's great. And then the next morning you go on Twitter and you find her posting about her the earrings that she wore in the episode, yeah, she wore them because Lois has worn those in comics and cartoons, and those are the kind of earrings that Lois, who does that? Like, how?
Yeah, like, not only is she knocking it out of the park as an actress, but her commitment to just Lois and the Superman mythology is like, yeah, can you be my Lois? I love you. Is you're the greatest person ever. No, she's so like in. She's so invested. It's great. And I'm sorry, there was one other like thing. Like I don't know if you're gonna isolate it, but in this episode, in terms of great standout Lois moments, there's a scene there somewhere in the middle where like one of the teenagers, I think it's Jordan, is kind of like angry and he's moping and he's going upstairs, and she kind of like stops him and talks to him there. And what I loved about that is so many times when you're watching a TV show, the drama feels forced, and a lot of it feels like this would all be mitigated if this other character just said what was on their mind, or if they just said what they knew, there'd be none of this weird tension and, you know, whatever. And a lot of times like people will just make their dramatic exit and then we go to the next scene. But here, like, Jordan said the line and started going in a huff, and then Lois said no. And she stopped him there and she explained to him like how he's feeling and what's up with that and how we're going to try to address that. She was like, she mothered him.
It felt like real parenting.
It felt like what happens in my house.
I think it was Jonathan, by the way, not
That's right.
Because of the football thing. Yeah.
I reverse them a lot, but yes.
Well, he's actually called Jordan in real life.
I'm sure they do it on the set too, because the actor's name is actually
I think that's why. And he's on Twitter now, and this guy anyway. But yes, so Jonathan, sorry, he's going up the stairs in a huff, and Lois, instead of just letting him do that, she like gives him a little bit of tough love, but like speaks to him about what's going on. And it's like, I, as a parent, I'm like, that's exactly how you should handle that situation. But I also feel like on TV, a lot of times characters like she wouldn't say that, so that we can continue with this lingering drama of the upset teenager. Lois is upset about being there. Like, no, she just like called him on it in a smart but loving way. And I just thought that was great. You know,
it was brilliant. And I like when she kind of has a go at both the sons. Clark's just like, you heard your mother.
You heard your mother.
Like, don't look at me. I'm Superman, but I ain't saving you from this. You're
not
on your own.
Yep.
That was
the amount of respect. The amount of respect he has for her is amazing and wonderful.
So Lois was great. So why don't we transition to, it was a key in the episode, the entire thing with Clark and Jordan and the fortress and the reveal of that. And then, you know, our first meeting of this version of Jor-El. First of all, I just want to set this up, that the establishing shot of the, you know, outside of the fortress, did that not seem like a shot? I mean, it wasn't a repurposed shot, but it felt like a shot right out of Superman Returns.
It does.
Like,
It looks just like the first time we see the fortress in Superman Returns. That establishing, like that first. Absolutely. I agree.
The other thing that I found really, really interesting is this version of the fortress seems like a hybrid of the one we saw on Krypton and the Donner.
Because it's got the crystalline thing, but it doesn't. As cold and sterile.
I thought it was more Superman the Animated Series, where it's like it's almost like a cave built. But
and it's more blue and cosmic looking and more alien looking. Yeah.
I don't know about you. I saw it and I'm like, man, can we just spend like an entire episode here?
Here's where I want the flashbacks of Krypton. I wonder if there actually is more to it, because it looked like
it goes further.
Because you couldn't hang out there because it's freezing, isn't it? You could see breath on.
It's not a very big room. Like, that can't be the entire. It's just one room with a console in the middle. There has to be more to it.
A bathroom, ensuite,
an aluminum foil bed mattress.
Yeah, the silver bed, just in case.
Knowing this show, they'd probably do that. Just to...
when him and Lois need to get away from the kids, bye, kids. We're going to the fort to see ya. We'll see you in a couple of days. There's pizza in the fridge. Have fun. I just the look of the fortress, I'm on board. I'm glad.
The overall aesthetic.
It was a hybrid, but they're doing their own thing with it. And I dig it. Especially because in the crossovers, one of the crossovers,
The last time like we saw it, plastic.
It looked like it was like there was no hiding it. This was a set, or even one of those, you know, those backgrounds where it didn't even look as good as your background, Mario. It looked like one of those backgrounds. You know, picture day at school where they put that stupid thing behind you and like it's, that's what it looked like.
I think so they'd use the budget on other things for that, and then they'd run out.
So I'm like, thank God they did.
But if you go back to Supergirl season 2, they didn't CGI the statues of Jor-El and Lara. Yeah. That for me, I thought that was better than this, just a little bit. But I still liked this.
Yeah,
this
I feel like I still feel like we barely scratched the surface. Like we said before, I think we've just seen like what's essentially the foyer of the, at the front of the place.
That's where you check in.
Yeah, you know, we've just gone to the check-in desk. We're like, this place sucks. You know what I mean? Like, we gotta go see the actual. You know, we haven't seen it all yet.
I wonder if there's a Kryptonian zoo in there. Yeah, like, can you imagine?
Oh my God, I would lose it.
If they do that, I'm just gonna go invest in the CW. Like, if they give me the Kryptonian zoo, I'm gonna give them some money because what the hell? So the look of it was great. I do dig the full-on hologram Jor-El. And he was a little bit, and this is no offense to the actor, the portrayal, I think this was purposely, he was a little bit colder than past iterations of Jor-El.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
You don't see in this one, he doesn't say, well, if I could hug you, you know, extend his
non-alien. Like, but I could embrace you.
Yeah. Like, to me, I've always thought, well, he's an AI, so like, well, it's nice to see Superman like embrace his father or be touched on the shoulder by his father. Realistically,
that takes it too far.
Listen, I can buy a holographic dead person, but
you can? Where are you at? Amazon?
Yeah, on Amazon. where I draw the line?
Yeah, that's a scoop. I'm gonna tweet that out, ladies and gentlemen. Breaking news: Adam can buy a holographic person.
He's got one in background.
Exclusive, yeah. I don't buy that where they get overly huggy.
Yeah,
and
I know what you mean.
So I kind of dug that, look, this is a hologram. Like, even you can believe that he would, when, you know, in the process of sending his son, you know, God knows where, Earth eventually, but he doesn't, you know. He would.
Well, some versions he does now.
But he would pre-program. You can believe that he would pre-program certain responses to questions. Let's say, here's a million questions that I think my future grown son would ask me. Here's the catalog of my answers.
They should make a sitcom of all those lessons he learned and him filming them for his son one day.
An animated show in the style of Harley Quinn animation. I'd watch that. But
no, it's so like How I Met Your Mother, but, you know, Jor-El edition. Anyway.
I can believe that. So I kind of, the fact that he was a little bit colder, I know it bothered some people. Didn't bother me. I'm like, he's a hologram. Like, let's call it what it is.
And I kind of like when, I kind of like when Jor-El can almost seem like a villain sometimes.
Yeah.
Because I like when Jor-El's like reasoning could be a little bit like, yeah, I sent you there for good reasons, but if things go to hell, you should just control the place. Like, different versions of Jor-El that are kind of like that. You know what I mean? And I don't know if that's where they're going with this one, but there was something a little bit almost nefarious about his tone at times here. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm wondering, like, are they going to toy with a Jor-El who is good and sagely and kind, but also has a bit of an arrogance or a bit of this feeling of like, you know, be nice to them, but worst comes to worst, just make that place yours.
Yeah, things get really stupid over there. Just
worst comes to worst, get a black suit and start incinerating everyone.
Which would be screwed if in reality we'd be screwed. Let's be honest.
I the Jor-El hologram, like the way he looked, I loved that, and it reminded me. Have you seen the Death of Superman animated movie? I don't know if you've seen Mario.
Yes.
The holograms in that look like kind of it's like a bluey green color in it.
Yeah.
Look like that's reminded me of that a lot as well. But yeah, I liked that it was quite cold as well, because like when they are scanning Jordan and he says there's nothing special about him, the way he delivers it,
it's sugar coated.
He's like, but I've got a theory on this, because I don't know if you know DJ Eric, who does videos on YouTube, good YouTuber, does a lot of CW stuff. He has a theory that the boys only have powers when they're near each other. And I like that theory. Like they're almost
interesting.
Like
it's like a power of two.
Yeah. I thought it was quite a cool theory that.
Well, my theory was when he said there were no powers, and let me know what you guys think. I assume, or not that he had no powers, but it was so minuscule that it wouldn't make a difference. Essentially, what if my theory is what if the powers, Superman's powers, are split between the two? So one of them has speed, vision, and flight. The other one has strength and speed.
I think he kind of tested for that though, didn't he? Because he said he'd done an ocular blast or whatever it was.
And he wasn't able to recreate it. I think what we might discover and what makes him different and what him being part Kryptonian, part human creates is that his abilities only spike up in a moment of intense emotion. So that's why he was able to do those two things, because there was like a primal intense thing that activated.
Yeah.
But he can't just summon it. So it's almost like it's almost like a Hulk type deal where these things are in there, but you have to trigger it in a way. And they're gonna try to help him learn how to use it like in positive ways, or you know what I mean? Or how to control his. So I feel like it may be that sort of thing where like it's tied to his emotion. It's tied to present.
That's a good theory as well.
Well, I'm convinced Jonathan's got something because he's so good at sports. There's got to be something.
Yeah, it makes no sense that he's that young and he's the freshman.
He's good at sports, or he's secretly injecting himself with Kryptonian needle all that Smallville, and he's got super.
While we're here in the fortress and talking all, I'm here in the fortress. while you guys are just talking about where I am. I want to bring up something about the Krypton origin in this one, because the wording is very interesting. They did like a tweak on it. And honestly, and I feel like it flew over some people's heads, but it excited the hell out of me, because it's a tweak that I've been saying on my show for years, I think would be a brilliant way to approach this mythology.
Okay, I think I must have missed this.
Yes, more often than not, when the destruction of Krypton is brought up, they give it some scientific reason for doing so. It's because it got too close to the sun, or something in the at the core was coming undone, and this and that. They didn't make that claim this time. This time, when we come in, we hear Jor-El saying something about how our natural resources were being depleted. And we the Earth, the planet, we were basically abusing it. And then when we discovered what we were doing to it, we went to war with each other, which accelerated everything.
Oh, okay.
And then got destroyed. So in that way, it's almost like the story of Earth. Yeah. In that way, it's an allegory for, look, we were depleting and abusing our planet. Mm-hmm. And then when the time came where we could either come together and fix it, we instead went to war with each other, and we destroyed this planet. See,
that's interesting.
To me,
that
changes everything. Yeah. To me, that's always been the basis for my, like, if I were to write a Superman story.
I remember that, because you posted that thing. Yeah.
That is Kal-El's origin in mind, that he was sent here not just because he would thrive here, but because he could potentially stop Earth from repeating Krypton's mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, it grounds his mission on Earth with a whole lot more of Yeah, you can really relate to that. If he understands, like, wait a minute, one of the things I'm here to do is not just fight bad guys. It's to try to inspire these people so they don't do what Krypton did. You know, so if you go back and watch it, you'll see they don't mention like scientific mumbo jumbo for why Krypton went. They say that the resources were depleting, and then we killed each other, basically.
Yeah.
You know, we accelerated.
So they destroyed the planet rather than.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
that's very similar to Flyby, isn't it? Then, you know, the J.J. Abrams script, because the planet, they only half blows up, but they go to war with each other and they destroy. Yeah. Krypton, basically. So
I mean, I feel like that's an awesome way to ground the story. You know, it makes it much.
They need to make a Krypton film where we see like the last days of Krypton, because I've got a book. I've got a book that it's called The Last Days of Krypton. It is an amazing book. It's really good, honestly. That'd make a great film. That
nice.
Maybe one day.
if you missed that, go back and watch and see. You'll understand where Mario's coming from. So, but yeah, that's
I just think Kryptonopolis and got excited at that. So
yeah.
I was just trying to pick pick up little details. I'm like, ooh, let's see if I can pick up something. Yeah.
Yeah, just for me, like I had, you know, that Leonardo DiCaprio moment they make all the memes about from where he's pointing at the TV.
Yeah.
So when I was on the couch and I realized how they framed Krypton's demise, I'm like, that's it. That's the story I've been wanting somebody to tell. A story where they basically did it to themselves. Yeah. You know what I mean? So now this is a Superman who's trying to make sure we don't do that. Yes. Like, it was so cool that I'm like,
That's cool. I like your what you saw there. I didn't pick up on that. I gotta admit that.
Well, you know. But, I'm a bit of a fanboy. I don't know if you know that about me.
Yeah, just a bit, especially when it comes to Superman, just a tiny bit. So very intriguing with the whole Fortress stuff and Jordan and what's going on with his powers. Will more develop? Will Jonathan have any? I mean, all these questions are hopefully going to get answered over the next batch of episodes.
I think that's part of it. We're supposed to be wondering that stuff at this point. Yeah. So I'm curious if they're going
to
go with it.
Before we move on to Superman versus the Stranger and all that goodness, I want to point out about specifically Jonathan, in the sense that there were moments where you could kind of see, jealousy is the wrong word, but there was, like, when he sees his brother fly with his father, you know,
of course,
yeah.
It kind of bugs him a bit.
How could you not?
Can't I? Or, you know, the fact that he had to be uprooted from his school, his friends, just so they could help his brother. It gets to him at first. And I was on board. I'm like, okay, that's an understandable, like you said, understandable reaction. But I like the way they handled it in that afterwards. They had that scene in the room where, you know, Jordan was kind of apologizing, saying, you know, this is because of me.
Yeah.
And he's basically saying, listen, you don't have to apologize for nothing. I'm your brother. If I don't look out for you, who's going to, right? And so,
see, that's
this was a thinking moment for me.
I'm glad you brought that up, because like that and like the lowest moment I brought up on the stairs before, like overall this is a family that speaks to each other, that communicates. Yeah. Like, I love so far the type of family they've shown, even with the sort of stereotypical elements of the angsty teen son and all that, whatever, you know, like. So far, this is a family that, like, you know, they communicate, they care. The brothers may haze each other, but there is a real love and connection.
Yeah. They look out for each other.
Friendship there. Yeah. Like the way Jordan felt so guilty that his brother is paying the price. Like, once he realized, once that clicked, that's why he wanted to go and try to fix it. You know what I mean? It's just like, I just love that this family unit is, they love each other and they speak to one another. You know, it's so easy to show dysfunctional families on TV and whatever. It's nice seeing that Clark actually has a pretty damn good family. It's, you know, it's great.
Yeah. I loved that, because obviously, you know, it was like a big deal at the kind of, it was the first time they'd not gone to school together and stuff. And I really liked that.
Yeah.
So even though he was kind of envious a bit of him going, I think he was more bothered that his brother wasn't with him at school. And I think what you'll see, they'll be stronger together is kind of what I'm trying to get at here.
Yeah.
But yeah, the only thing that were bugging me about that stuff is that girl, is Sarah, is she called?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sarah Cushing.
Why did she date that guy? This is the one thing that bugs me in these kind of shows, right? That guy is clearly a big douchebag, right?
Yeah.
Why would she date? At least with Smallville, with Whitney, you got to see like another side to him. This guy, he's just a douchebag, innit? I mean, I get his problem in the first episode, but I just think he's a complete douche.
And listen, but for what it's worth, let me ask you this. Haven't you felt that way in real life? Have you seen a girl who's with someone who's what is she seeing him? You know what I mean? Like, there's lots of times where a relatively, you know what I mean? Like, where you'll see these pairings and you're like, this doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean? So, and that's the thing. I know it's a TV show when it's almost, you want to go like, this doesn't make sense. But then when you look at real life, it's like, well, no, that happens too. A perfectly wonderful woman will somehow, for whatever reason, end up with a total tool bag. Especially, you know, and all you want to do is like, wake up, you know?
Especially in high school. I know so many girls that dated losers, and it's like,
yeah.
Why?
I have a theory, though. I think Jonathan's going to win him over. I get the feeling with his sports, because obviously he didn't really get to win it. I do think he's going to win him over. Although, they're all so much bigger than him. I'm like, he's 30.
But Steven, my question is, where was the Old Spice product placement in the football scene? Because Smallville had it. Why can't this show? Come on. Where's the Old Spice?
My dad used to use Old Spice.
Yeah, well.
So, but yeah, I do think he'll win. I think that'll be a storyline. I think he'll win the bullies over, if you get my drift. Like Karate Kid, he wins them over, doesn't he? You know, that kind of
thing. I knew you were. I'm like, Steven's thinking about Cobra Kai right now.
I can't wait for season 4.
Because on the most recent Cobra Kai, it's the same story where, you know, Johnny's son is getting bullied by this big kid at the juvie center, and then they become friends. I feel like you're thinking that subplot's going to play out. I thought of that too.
Subconsciously in my mind, yeah.
Yeah, I made that connection too, but I'm like, at this point, I would feel like we just did that.
I'm just gonna say this, and then two things, and then we're gonna move on to Superman versus the Stranger and all that entails.
Yes.
But since you guys brought up Cobra Kai,
yes,
Sholo Madwera, I think is his name is. If he's not cast as the Blue Beetle, I don't know what's wrong with the people over there. And the guy that plays Johnny's son, if he's not the Green Ranger in the new Power Rangers movie, somebody in Hollywood
is so Tommy Oliver. Stuff.
Yeah. Somebody in Hollywood spoke some weird stuff.
Well, actually, now that you brought up Cobra Kai, I'm not going to let you steer out of it just yet.
All right, okay.
Because to me, and I tweeted about this the other day, I don't know if you saw, but to me, this show has a certain similarity, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Because, like, though this isn't a sequel to anything in specific, it does feel like a continuation of an old story. You know what I mean? Like, since it, you know, so that's an interesting thing where it has that same thing of, like, I know these characters, but now I'm seeing them 20 years later. Oh, this is what this is like. Interesting. You know what I mean? So that in an odd way, Superman and Lois has like a Cobra Kai vibe, you know? Yes. And the funny thing is, and I mentioned it this way to my mom, because she loves Cobra Kai and she also loves Superman, and she tried it, and now she's addicted to Superman and Lois.
Oh, beautiful.
It was funny. So it's like, yeah, like you could bring in outsiders with this show because it does feel familiar while also pushing these familiar characters into new space. So I got my 58-year-old mom to start watching Superman and Lois. So.
Well, my mom's watching it. We're continuing the trend of watching. Usually it's movies, but it's Superman and Lois in this case, watching the show together. So she loves it too. So there's that.
I mean, she has no understanding about this Earth 2 concept we're about to go.
My mom was
confused and all that.
I had to explain that too, because she's like, "Wait a minute, wasn't Lex the guy from Two and a Half Men?" I'm like, "Yes, but," and then watching the Snyder Cut's gonna be four hours of fun.
Oh, yeah.
that's gonna be fun to explain. But yeah, no. So moving on to, we've got some big reveals. So first of all, Captain Luther, can I stop calling him the Stranger now? Can we throw that out the door? Okay, so Captain Luther is still on the hunt for Kryptonite. Mm. And he decimates the army headquarters base where Sam Lane is to try and find this Kryptonite. That was his main objective throughout the episode. Of course, that brings him into conflict with Superman a couple of times in the episode. And we got two fantastic Superman and Captain Luther fight scenes. And these are the moments where I was like, expletive, 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 I can't believe this is
It looked so good as well. Like, I think in the first episode, it didn't look bad in the first episode, but that kind of fight in the sky, it didn't kind of quite work this way. But
it was happening
it was all too quick. Where this, it was almost like we actually got to see like what was happening. Like a bit more,
and it was it wasn't like blurry and distorted. Like you got to see some real Superman action. You know, like that was that's what struck out at me when I was watching those sequences when they started fighting and like in the woods and all that sort of stuff, and then they went to the sky and all that. I'm like, this is Superman action. Like this is what a series about this character should look. I got so excited. Because I've seen some of the action on these Arrowverse series before, and it looks, you know, it doesn't look anywhere near this level. So
what's that, the dancing? Usually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was worried that I'm like, I know the premiere showed good stuff, but are all the episodes going to have that caliber?
Yeah.
And like, holy crap, it looks like a movie.
So, I think as well, like, you could really see the Man of Steel influence in there. Because it was all, you know, when he's like, "Friend of my mother," But they kind of did it up, so Superman was under him.
Yeah.
And then the bit where he actually punches him down, that was literally the shot where he punches Namek down in Man of Steel.
Yeah, but also Doomsday in BVS, remember when he put into
the
sky?
Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
So that's the reference I knew.
And I like that Superman kind of kicked his ass this week because he got his ass kicked last week. Yeah. It's like this week, he was like, no, you're not going to get the chance this time. I do get the feeling maybe because his armor was depleting, I wonder if he was a bit more... Yeah. It was less powerful, so that kind of way he got more of the advantage this week. So, but that was cool, man.
The other reference that I noticed was when he was going to stop the ship with the bomb in it, and he flew around to the front and grabbed it. God. That was right out of Superman Returns, and I'm like, they're we talked about this last week. They're taking the best parts of Man of Steel,
everything,
and Superman Returns, and saying. Because remember, Steven, you and I, and I think me and you, Mario, on Twitter, have had the same conversation where somewhere in between Man of Steel and Superman Returns, the perfect Superman exists.
And that's what this show is.
Yeah.
Hey, somebody's been spying on our social media conversations and has done something good with it for once in their lives. So,
apparently.
I was doing the Leonardo DiCaprio gif when they... And that's it. I'm like, ooh. and then the other thing that I found really cool and really apropos for something that Lex would do when Superman was fighting the decoy robotic version of his thing, that was just, you know, I'm like, that's a total Luthor move because he'd have a robot, you know, to distract Superman.
We did it in Super by that time, didn't he, as well, which I know is a different kind of show, but.
Yeah,
Lex kind of thinks he's caught Lex out, and it's not actually Lex; it's a robot of Lex, which is obviously a bit Silver Age-y, but this was kind of.
And I just want to point out because I've seen this on social media, and I kind of want to sort if I can help allay this kind of conversation. Look, the producers have said they're fans of Man of Steel.
Yeah. So
when you see scenes that echo or pay homage to it, they're not plagiarizing. Trying to one up or insult Man of Steel.
Yeah,
it's look, we like this. We want to pay homage to it. Let's not all get because there's people getting defensive. Well, it's just what did I see? Diet version of Man of Steel, and it's like no, it's like they're homaging Man of Steel. Why this is what I'm talking about. When you see something like this, the majority of Superman fans should be celebrating, not. Well, I'm in this camp and I'm in that camp, so no, you're taking my thing. No, it's a Superman thing. They're paying homage to a character that has 80 years of story, and they've picked the one that you like and taken that segment out and repurposed it and used it for their own purpose. Why aren't you celebrating that? That's the piece of Superman that you love enduring and taking one step further. That, to me, that's something to get excited about.
I agree. But that's why I don't even pay those people mind, you know? It's just, listen, unfortunately, for better or worse, this is a fandom that's been around for 83 years, and there's people of every kind of thought, and there's going to be people who are going to be, you know, sticks in the mud who are going to find something to complain about.
No it just what. Baffles me that. It's like, some of them do it for attention as well. I think most of them probably do, but I think as well, like for me, like if you are copying something from a preview, it's not like stealing if it's from yourself, is it? You know,
Warner Brothers copy from Warner Brothers. That's not allowed.
You know, well, even just the character, it's like
really
that's what always happens. I know it drives me nuts. Did you notice that? You know, last week the suit had a few moments where it looked a bit. I didn't think it looked like that this week. Like too. Looked a bit too puffy last week in some scenes.
Yeah.
I didn't notice it at all this week.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was the angle.
That's an interesting thing sometimes that happens too between pilots and then when the show gets picked up, they make those tweaks. So they'll be so I'm sure like after the premiere, they were like, he looks great, but it could use a little fine tuning.
Because I thought they did it this week.
Let's hope they don't do it as many times as they did with Dean Cain's suit because that thing went through.
He had a different cape every week.
Can you imagine there was a hot toy for every Dean Cain Superman suit? I mean, you'd be broke. You'd have to mortgage your house, sell your house, all your worldly possessions. It was insane. But the even more, you know, the holy crap moment of the episode was the flashback. I mean, as cool as those action sequences were, and I loved every second of them, but the flashbacks with Captain Luther when, you know, he's having a conversation with his ship.
Well, let's not forget he gave Sam Lane that thing as well, which was from the comics, the number.
Yeah.
Was it 7734, I think it was?
I'm pretty sure.
Spelled hell, it's hell upside down. Yeah.
I think it's 7734 it is.
Yeah, but that leads to the flashback.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying he eats his target acquired when the robot goes.
Yeah.
You think he's going to kill Sam, but he's actually there to speak to him, isn't he? Because it's on his
Earth. Yeah, on his Earth, they're friends. Teammates, if you want to call them that. The actual word escaped me. But the flashback, you see, it's basically a war zone. And Captain Luther and Sam Lane are there fighting, and they're in the trenches. And then it's not going well. And all of a sudden, like, it's rainy, like, it's dark, very ominous, everything's ominous. And you look up in the sky and you see the shadowy Superman figure.
In all black.
All black, like, he's literally blurred out, and then it's silhouette. And then you see a close-up, and it's actually the black suit from one of the crossovers.
Elseworlds,
Elseworlds, that's right.
And that looked better than his previous suit anyway, I thought. I thought the black version looked better because of the color and stuff as well, so.
Oh, then the older, and he just incinerates a whole bunch of people with his heat vision.
Well, I think you're carrying the lead a little bit. You know, the big twist is that this Luthor comes from the world where Superman went bad, and
why did he go bad is the question, as well.
Same, yeah. So he thinks he's the hero in this story, where he's here to stop this Superman from destroying this Earth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's really kind of the interesting plot point now that's out there that I had to explain to my mom because she had no idea. But that's the interesting thing now. So on his world, Superman is that Superman, and we don't know how he ended up that way.
Yeah.
But and also there, Sam Lane died, but he asked Luther to keep the fight going, to another, and it's just an interesting way. Like, is this Luther going to ultimately not be the villain, but maybe he can be saved by the end because he's going to realize
that's what I think is going to probably happen. Yeah,
like, I don't think he's going to be the main villain for the season. I think he's like a confused person, but there's probably some other main antagonist. You know,
maybe
that's what I think
maybe the other Superman. You know,
maybe
have you got any theories on what happened to that? Because I mean, a lot of people are thinking Injustice, but I don't know.
I haven't started theorizing yet. No. I want to see where
my brain was going.
it's gonna involve whatever happened. I think it's gonna involve Lois being killed.
I do think we'll probably see a little bit more of that Superman, but I don't think you're ever going to spend an episode with him or anything. I think you'll probably get.
I'd love to though.
Yeah, I would because
I want to see the two of them go toe to toe.
Oh,
give me Superman versus Superman, kind of like Undertaker versus Undertaker, and then throw in like you were saying, Mario. If this Luther at one point gets reformed by Superman or brought back to life, and he actually helps the main Earth Superman, I would blow my mind.
Because that's my thing. and that's my thing. If you really think about it, this Luthor is not a villain just yet. He seems like it because he's fighting our boy. Yeah. But if you understand where he's coming from, and if you understand on his world, Superman is not at all the way we know him to be, and he's really here trying to do us a favor, like, he's really not a villain as of yet. And he hasn't done anything that's all that villainous. So I'm really kind of intrigued is he going to do a full turn? I don't think he is. I think at some point he's going to learn the truth, and then, like you said, maybe they'll work together against Black Superman.
I think another thing, because he obviously is Sam Lane now having doubts, and is he gonna, because there was that cut scene that was in the CW app version where Superman goes to talk to Sam, and Sam gives him the thing that the neck chain thing that he gave him, so he has been open with Clark, but in the version we saw, did you see the extended one, Mario, or did you see
that? No, I didn't see the extended.
Yeah. So basically, in the version we saw, there was no resolution to that. We don't know if Sam's told Superman, but there actually was a scene where he told him. So it's interesting because I thought they were playing it like he's going to start having doubts. And
Yeah, I mean, I think in general, we're supposed to be a little confused about the general's intentions here and where how he's ultimately going to go. Because while at on the surface, he seems almost like a good guy, like an ally character who just, you know, lets Superman know where to bring his heroics.
Yeah.
There is also kind of, you know, when he was given that tough talk to Lois last week about, you know, you're in love with Clark, but you married Superman. Mm. You know, he seems to, like, you know, he's a military man and he understands that, like, the mission is more important than anything.
Yeah.
And if Superman is now going to become a liability, you know, or, you know what I mean? So it's an interesting sort of thing where he could definitely go in another direction, into an antagonist role. Yeah. I think they're leaving that open.
Yeah. It was bad at Clark as well, when he found out, he told the boys.
Yeah, and also in that cutscene, it's revealed that Sam Lane has a stash of kryptonite hidden away, and he says it's to protect you from, you know, villains getting their hands on it. But really, if this Luthor gets in his head, what's to say Sam doesn't use it against potentially against you?
Well, another thing I was
You do it. Okay, I was going to say
this. No, go on, Hugo.
Okay, I'll be the right, tiger. Mario,
just real quick, because in hearing you describe that extra scene and all that, it's funny, it really does mirror BVS in a way, because Bruce at some point was talking about, like, you know, you got to have a silver bullet in case he goes the other way. I mean, it's a trope that's been done a lot when you're dealing with a very powerful character, but this idea of, like, you got to have a contingency plan.
If there's a 1% chance. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So Lane having some kryptonite does make logical sense, but then there is also that doubt in the back of your mind of, like, is this just for defense, or does he want to be able to, you know what I mean? So it's like, I feel like there's supposed to be some, like, intrigue around his intentions, you know?
So many questions, though. This episode leaves you with so many questions.
Yeah.
And that ending, if that doesn't leave you saying, is it Tuesday yet? I mean, nothing. really. I don't know.
I was just going to say that Captain Luthor needs a new suit, and I'm thinking, well, the Lex Luthor that exists on this Earth has a suit, so maybe he's going to go.
I would love to see them interact. I've got to be honest.
Because that would be cool. I mean, I don't know if they could make it work, because I don't know what John Cryer's schedule is like and stuff, but maybe he goes, and maybe if he brings him into it as well, that could really twist things. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen, I'll be honest, but it was just a theory. I thought, well, if he needs a new suit, he's got a suit.
Yeah. And so, by the way, how refreshing would it be if Luthor doesn't end up being the villain here? Because I just feel like that was the one thing from the premiere that, like, when in hindsight, I'm like, I'm super excited, but are we really just dealing with Lex again? We're doing another where Lex is the big bad. We have this entire pantheon of villains and we're back at Lex. I mean, that was the only kind of thing that I was, like, second guessing. But I'm really kind of getting the sense that, like, no, he's not the big bad. Luthor is not the big bad this season. I really don't think he is.
When we read the script, I actually thought they were going to go this route that they're going. I think he will be, like, a redeemed character by the end. And who knows? I don't know if his Earth's been destroyed. Maybe it hasn't actually been destroyed. Or not.
Yeah.
Well, if Superman is the one the evil Superman is the one that did it, he's going to still be out there somewhere. Because clearly...
Yeah, who stopped him? Nobody did.
Well,
maybe
the Earth got destroyed.
My question is, how did this Lex get here?
Well, that's obviously, the only thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Crisis, but how, you know, there's got to be more than just...
They haven't really explained that as of yet. So, yeah, that'll be interesting, too, to find out how exactly is it that Lex Luthor can travel between dimensions like this, you know?
So many intriguing questions.
Mm-hmm.
Just to go to your point before we get final thoughts, when you said, are we just going to do Lex again? Well, this time they kind of gave us a Lex Zod hybrid in one person.
Yeah,
Kryptonian like ability.
He's got the armor, right? So it's kind of like here.
Yeah.
One movie gives you Lex, the other one gives you Zod. We're gonna give you both in one.
We're gonna give you both in one and dress him like Master Chief.
Before we wrap up, can I just mention Kyle? Because I kind of get the feeling, because he was a complete douche last week, I kind of get the feeling he's not as much of a douche as you kind of thought he was. Because in that moment when he talked to Lois, I kind of thought he was kind of right in a way, like he was saying, somebody in the pocket's better than none. And I'm like, he actually is making a good point here. And I think he cares about the community.
Yeah.
Just, kind of the...
I think it's less of him being this terrible human being, and more about highlighting, again, I think the show is going a little bit deeper here and saying it's okay to have different perspectives. Clearly, what they're framing it around is kind of a political thing because,
yeah,
you know, we've gone to a place where it seems, and I'm Canadian, so I may be totally off here, but it seems like Democrats think that all, Republicans are the devil and vice versa, where the show's kind of trying to say there is, you know, a situation on both sides where it's just good, honest people with different opinions. That's okay.
In a more specific way, too, you know, the dynamic here in this country, and not that we don't have to be here too long, but the dynamic here in this country is also this weird thing between the big cities and rural America, where there's this like disconnect where the people in the rural, you know, in the central part of America feel forgotten by the big cities. They feel like everyone, you know, grows up here and then just leaves. And then all our factories are getting shut down. So then, of course, if some big successful businessman comes around and says, I'm going to bring you jobs, I'm going to bring life back to this place, those people out there forgot about you, but I'm here for you. You know, you'll believe that. What I mean? So it's like, so it's not so much about, it's just about clashing viewpoints. It's not about like Kyle is a villain and Lois is a good guy.
Yeah.
They're trying to present like, if you grew up how Kyle grew up, this is what the world looks like. This is how you feel about the outside world. And if you're Lois and you're coming here, this is how, you know. So in an interesting way, they're not vilifying anyone, but they're putting very strong opposing viewpoints up against each other. You know, and it's actually and it's a compassionate way to do it, because it would be easy to try to like poke fun at the middle America guy, you know, all the make him more of like a hick, you know, country boy who talks kind of.
That's
dumb,
what I mean.
You know.
They didn't lean.
Yeah,
they kind of leaned into the stereotype in the first episode, but they kind of showed you there's layers to him, and he's not.
Yeah, like they didn't make him this like annoying redneck cliche.
They made him someone
who actually like. There's a reason he's backing Edge, and he's not doing it totally blindly. He knows that Edge is not going to live up to all of his. Promises, but you know what? Even some promises are better than none.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like it makes you understand the other side too. Like in real life, it would be nice if you could understand why the other side thinks the way they do. Maybe we wouldn't be fighting so often.
Well, that's true, and that's what I was kind of. Yes, there's the geopolitical aspect to it.
Yeah.
But if you take it more to like the, you know, the not so serious side.
Yeah.
Look at fandom is the same way. If we could just realize that, hey. I have different likes. You have different likes.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we're all good people. Why are we bickering and this and that? I mean, so it's a commentary on a bunch of different things, you know, more serious and not so serious. Yeah. And I like the way they sort of frame both sides, not saying one is good, one is bad. It's just good people on both sides with differing opinions. Learn to deal with that in a respectful, you know,
and you know why?
Way.
And you know what makes that so special? This is a Superman series, and it has a Superman sensibility to it. It has a morality. Yeah, it has something to say.
Absolutely.
And I love that this is a Superman series. It's not just like, look at all these cute comic book adventures.
Yeah.
Like, this is a Superman story that has something to say. And I love that about this show. I love that. I love the idea that like it feels like Superman's voice coming through. Because if the message you get through all of that is trying to work together and hear someone else's viewpoint, that's guess Superman. Who else would want you to do that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like that Superman sensibility coming through the screen.
And this is not only it's glad. I'm glad that it's happening here. But and I think we're only going to get more of that. Not only here. But in the next movie, because you don't hire somebody like Ta-Nehisi Coates.
No, exactly.
Like, you're not just going to get a fluff. You're like,
exactly. It's going to be a Superman with something to say.
This isn't going to be a Michael Bay movie with all kinds of explosions. I mean, maybe there will be explosions, but it's not just going to be explosions. So we're going to get more of this thought-provoking Superman. And I'm here for it, as long as you pad it with some cool stuff, too. Give us a good answer.
A little bit of sugar helps the medicine go down. So give us lots of sugar.
Yeah. But we've talked about, like, with Man of Steel and Superman Return example, we've talked about the balances maybe were tipped too far.
Yeah.
This kind of balances everything.
This is it.
Nice. Fine. You never know.
This should be, I hope, like, be it, you know, they won't correlate, but hopefully the movie can take cue from the TV show in terms of how it structures its balance between.
Yeah.
Honestly, like,
see it and then
yeah,
we learn something. You know, like,
this nails the whole template yeah. for a Superman series, you know, because yes, you want to have the stuff that's sort of like gentler and kinder in terms of like the morality and the romance and the little bit of nostalgia and the aw shucks yeah. optimism of a Superman story. But you also have to have cool balls to the wall action and show yeah, those cool yeah. abilities.
Yeah.
And you got to have, you know, a good mix of both. And
maybe this is why Superman has been so hard for him to get right, because the series is kind of doing what we've wanted Superman to do for years yeah. on the big screen. Maybe that is why it is so hard, because it is a balancing act. And
maybe a TV series is a better platform, because it gives you more time to like develop all yeah. of that in a patient, in a 2-hour movie. You know, it's a tall ask to,
yeah.
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Or it can be, you know, so that's something else to consider too. Like, this might be the medium that is perfect for where the kind of Superman
yeah,
story.
Where he thrives the most. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we've said that before. Yeah. Superman on TV's always been successful in the movies.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah. There's always been. So. but we're going to have lots more to say on the TV show, obviously, every week. And then when there is movie news, you better believe we're going to be talking about it, that's for sure. Because it's been too long since we've had Superman movie news. So it'll be good to finally cover it. But before we wrap up, is there anything you want to touch on that we missed, that we maybe missed, or can we get to our final?
I have one concern, and I won't spend too long on it. Chrissy Beppo concerns me a little bit, because she felt, I kind of get the feeling she might become a bit annoying. Hopefully she isn't. You get those characters on CW shows where, I don't want this to be, we've got to, and then she finds out the secret, and then all it. They do it a lot on these CW shows, and that's my only slight concern at the minute.
Are you talking about the reporter at the Smallville
yeah.
Gazette?
Yeah, okay. yeah. And it's not taking away from the actress. I thought the actress was fine. It's just that
that character, yeah, exactly.
I just got
that
a feeling, it makes me a little bit... Because there's those characters, like, I'm just mentioning The Flash here, there's, like, characters in The Flash who just don't need to be there at all, and you're like, you've got too many characters on the show. In fact, I just want to say one more thing, actually. The Flash name drops Clark, so I just want to get that out of there. So that was quite cool. But yeah, so just she's my only concern at the minute, because I can see her being one of those characters that eventually finds out the secret. Now, this is going to be awful. If they killed her off in the last episode and kind of shocked her.
Okay, Stephen already wants to kill her. He's like, all right.
No. You think about it. This nice character who she's been running like a Smallville Gazette. If she somehow got caught in the crossfire, that would be kind of a big statement, wouldn't it? That kind of thing. So
I'm not saying
that's going to happen, but...
Yes. I think overall, like, the Smallville Gazette stuff is part of Lois's arc where...
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah.
She's going to, like, help that... You know, help the Gazette find its voice and suddenly... Yeah. And help give the people of Smallville a voice again. In a metaphorical way, it's like, again, for the common man, for the working man, for the plumber's grandson. But, you know, like, she's going to try to... You know, she's going to become, you know, a champion of the
kind of like Martha was before she passed away.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And she's going to use what she knows best. She's a writer, so she's going to use the Smallville Gazette.
There's that great line, wasn't there? You do the Superman stuff, I'll do the Lois Lane stuff.
Yeah. So she's going to do her Lois Lane stuff for all of Smallville. Yeah. And I feel like that's going to be a very rewarding sort of arc too. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because, this is just, I love this freaking show.
Yeah.
I love this freaking show.
I'm telling you, Tuesday is such a tip for me. Tuesday is a really fun night now, because I've got Young Rock, I've got The Flash, and then it goes right to... And I'm glad that... No, you know, I love The Flash, but overall. But I'm so glad that Superman's on at 9, because having to go from the visuals that I see on Superman and Lois
to The Flash,
it'd be like, it would be too jarring. Whereas if I start with The Flash and make my way up to Superman and Lois, you know, it goes down...
Just as a side note, like, I feel like, isn't that going to get weird now? Now that there's a show in the Arrowverse that looks so much better than the rest of the shows, maybe they're going to try to find a way. That's why they were talking about, like, this weird co-branding between CW and HBO Max, where they could, like, get more money so that the rest of the series look like Superman and Lois. Because right now it's got to be odd that, like, the jarring jump in quality. You know what I mean?
Well, I theorized that The Flash could do something big story-wise that would then make the tone more serious. And they kind of did something this week that could kind of almost be the start of that. And I hope that happens, because it would be jarring if, like, the cross... I don't want to sound awful, right? I would prefer it if nobody came on Superman and Lois, but Superman occasionally went onto their shows.
Yeah, that'd be cool for me.
Yeah, but the thing is though, too, though, if they go on the Superman show, at least for that one episode or however episodes
they're going to look cool.
They're going to look awesome, right? So it's better for them if they go on Superman's show, right?
See, and my concern is just the way that...
If he goes there, it's going to be a downgrade. Yeah, like, if he goes there, it's...
It is a little bit, but I kind of think he could kind of fit in there a little bit better where... Like, I feel... Not necessarily the Flash himself, but if you start bringing in those side characters... And, like, I've not really enjoyed Batwoman the last three episodes. I think the writing on that is bad at the minute. If he went there, I don't think I'd want those writers writing him as well. And I kind of, it just all makes me a bit nervous. I honestly, right, if I were the CW, I'd keep it as separate as I can, because I just, and as much as I love crossovers, I just think I can see it.
Well, listen, I got to agree. One of the reasons I'm so in on this is how little connected to the Arrowverse it is. You know, if this was much more involved with the Arrowverse and I had to watch the other shows to understand what's going on, or like the crossovers, the only way this season's going to pay off for me, that's going to cramp my style a little bit. So I want them to be on their own.
Yeah. Should they do the crossovers as like their own thing? So like, instead of saying this week's The Flash is part two or whatever, just call it Crisis on Infinite Earth rather than... So if they did that and then brought the tone up for the whole crossover... That could probably work, but I do think it could get a bit weird.
Well, I think we're going to get a taste of how it could work, because John Diggle is going to come on.
Yeah, he's coming on, yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. Now, if they bring him on and he's got a certain ring that's green and can do some cool stuff.
But he's also a grounded PG.
Remember, see, now you got me all, because I know HBO Max is making a Green Lantern series.
They are.
Yeah. If they could somehow introduce that on Superman Lois, but I don't know how that would work.
All I keep thinking of is when I look at Superman and Lois, I'm like, and we're going to get this quality of visuals, maybe even better, in a Green Lantern show.
I think it might be better, to be honest. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's going to be more HBO proper. It's going to look more like Watchmen. It's going to look more like Watchmen, which is even the next level up.
I think
you know? The
budget per episode for Superman and Lois is like 5 or 6 million. And I think the other CW shows, it's like 2.5 million.
Yeah.
And I think Falcon and Winter Soldier, that's even
the whole
higher.
Thing is 150. Everything on Falcon and Winter Soldier is 150 mil combined.
So Green Lantern's probably going to be more that kind of budget.
Well, they said Green Lantern it's a 10-episode season, and it's going to be the whole thing is 100 million. So they're going to have like
So that kind of makes sense. All right, because it's
It's like if this HBO Max thing is the new trend, because apparently every show that is from now on that starts up that's co-financed by HBO Max, like Superman and Lois is.
It's going to look like Superman and Lois.
So I'm like, all right, now let's start greenlighting shows.
Yeah.
Here's where we start greenlighting. You know, now give me this stuff. So more of this, more shows like this in this world, like give me all of it. Like this is what I'm saying. This is the golden age of superhero properties. Let's all get on board and enjoy this. Let's all be happy, damn it.
Let's be happy.
You know, all right, so let's wrap up with final thoughts and a grade. So, Mario, your final thoughts and a letter grade.
Okay.
Out of five in this
out of five?
Okay. You're the grade keeper. Oh, there we go.
Last week for the premiere, I wanted to give the show some place to go. So even though I thought it was damn near perfect, I said 4 out of 5. I still want to give it some place to go, but this would, in an odd way, this was almost better, because now that I know this is what the series is going to be like, this wasn't a premiere. This is what this show is. Mm. So that gets it a 4.5 for me. I'm still trying to build to, you know, when it's...
You can tell Mario wants to give it that 5. So
I want to, but 4.5 just because I just want to keep myself in check a little bit.
Steven?
Oh, final thoughts? Oh, it was wonderful. There, keep going.
Like I said earlier, I thought the balance of everything a little bit better than the pilot. Like, just the action was like, I think the one thing that was lacking in the pilot a little bit was the action, where I thought they totally gave us the action this week. So I'm going to Mario 4.5 out of 5. So,
yeah. My final thought is this. Well, I'll go with my grade and then final thought. The grade, I'm gonna echo both of your sentiments, is that it's a 4.5. It's so near, it's near perfect. It's like, I'm right there. I'm like, just give me that one little extra, and I'll give you that five.
I feel like if they just let the theme song, the new fanfare, just play at full bore, we'll all just say five.
I asked the composer on Twitter, and he said you aren't going to hear it more, so hopefully he's not lying.
Let Adam finish.
By the way, I also love that little the bit of the music we heard in the opening dialogue from Lois. I thought, it fits the town of Smallville so perfectly.
Yeah.
But I digress. But overall, I know it's only two episodes, and I know people are going to say I'm being hyperbolic, but it's too bad. It's my show. I can be as hyperbolic as I want. This is, outside of the comic books, this is the best Superman anything I've seen since 1996, which was Superman the Animated Series.
Yep.
That's how good it is. And all I can say is I am happily here to consume and hopefully enjoy so much more of this show. So keep it coming.
And if I can just say too, like, since we last spoke, you know, last Friday was when they announced the J.J. Abrams reboot being written by Ta-Nehisi Coates. And what's interesting about that movie is that the early rumors are that it's not going to be Clark Kent.
Yeah.
It's going to be perhaps Calvin Ellis or Val Zod, you know, one of the versions of a black Superman. And what's interesting is, if you had asked me, like, had that news broken the week prior, I probably would have felt real, like, messed up about it. I'm like, how do you do a Superman movie without Clark Kent? But now that this show exists, I'm like, let this movie be whatever.
So you're in my camp. Sure.
I'm a little bit. Yeah, I'm still kind of clinging on to Henry a little bit, to be honest. But
I mean, listen, and that's the thing. I'm still of the mind that we're gonna get Henry in the Shazam movies.
Yeah. Shazam.
But even still,
they made the movie A Corner of the Universe after me. Right?
But like now that I've got a Clark Kent that I can visit with every week, who's recognizable and is telling a story that's exactly the story I want to see. You know, whatever they cook up there, it can't hurt me. It could only help me. You know what I mean? I'm willing to just whatever Abrams and Coates come up with. Let's see. I've got a Superman right now. So this would be like bonus Superman if theirs is good.
Like I told Stephen last week on our show covering it, this is me and Warner Brothers too, having their cake and eating it too. And it's, Bring it on. Now, I got a quick question before we go, Mario, because you weren't here last week for our movie conversation. So, of the two Supermans, would you prefer Calvin Ellis, who is on his world, also the President of the United States? And we know you like the more thought-provoking, you know, deeper stories. I got to be honest, President Superman, written by Ta-Nehisi Coates, could get very interesting.
Or would you like
the Val Zod version? Or do you think there's going to be an amalgamation of the two?
I think, honestly, full disclosure, I don't know a lot about these alternate versions of Superman. I really don't, because I'm not a huge comic book junkie. You know, a lot of what I know of the Superman lore, I learned either from, you know, like movies or animated series of some kind. You know, and I've read, like, you know, like 20 of the most significant Superman graphic novels, but I don't know all the ins and outs of everything. You know, I'm not a huge, so when it comes to the Black Superman, I don't know a lot about it, but from what I've gathered just preliminarily, the Calvin Ellis one seems like the more interesting take. Okay. And I would be very interested in seeing in what Ta-Nehisi Coates would do with, like, a President Superman, basically. But I have to put that out there. Full disclosure, I don't know a lot about that version of Supes.
Fair enough. We'll see where they go.
Before we go, I have a theory, because I don't think Abrams is going to direct this. I think Abrams has got the Superman keys, so I think he could potentially do another Superman film at some point with another.
Yeah.
I just think it could happen because he's got. He's going to have the Matt Reeves keys, basically.
Yeah, they gave him the Matt Reeves deal. Who are we kidding?
Yeah.
Well, here's how I look at it. Before we wrap up, here's my theory on how it's all going to break down. Because right now, they seem to want to create a distinction between a DCEU character and then the one that exists in the pocket universe. And what I mean by that is, In The Flash, they're going to introduce Michael Keaton as Batman. Yeah. And we know that he signed for multiple movies. And he's there, in theory, to be the Batman of, like, the DCEU. Of, like, the crossovers. Yeah. Whenever Flash and Aquaman and Wonder Woman have to do a thing. This is the Batman that they deal with now, right? Meanwhile, Matt Reeves has his own Batman. Yeah, and meanwhile, Matt Reeves has his own Batman on the side, but Keaton is the mainline Batman. I think with Superman, in a sense, Cavill can be the DCEU Superman with only appearances in the Shazam movies and the Black Adam movies. Yeah. Once again, just like Keaton, he's not going to get solo movies, but we'll get to see him in some cool stories for the next few years. Whereas the Abrams Superman will be like the Reeves Batman, where it's all separate of everything.
Yeah,
you know, so that's kind of how I view it. So I actually think the way it's going to shake out is that Cavill is sticking around, just like was rumored last year, that he's sticking around, no solos, but smaller appearances in other films. Yeah, so I think that's going to happen. He's going to be in the Shazam movies. And in theory, it's like we have that Superman. He's around somewhere. But the Abrams Superman is going to be, you know, like the Reeves Batman off in his own place. Where they can explore their own space around that. Almost like, you know, like same thing like with Joker. Like they like this idea of like a movie with a character off on an island. Yeah. And I almost feel like the Abrams Superman is going to be that, you know? So we'll see.
Awesome.
That makes sense. Yeah. I think we're on kind of the same page with that a little bit. I think Cavill's thing all depends on scheduling. I think if he can make it work with his schedule, I think he will appear in probably just cameo and Shazam.
I think all this stuff has already been decided. I think when they made those reports like 6 months ago, that even Deadline picked up, and even the Hollywood Reporter commented on it. This wasn't just fanboy random rumor. Deadline was reporting that Cavill.
It's just not clear if anything was actually signed, though, is it? That's the thing. That was the.
But I feel like, I mean, obviously, it would be nice to have that. Confirmation, but even getting that report out there, I feel like a trade wouldn't report that unless those talks were very far. I feel like the deal's already been done. The only reason we don't know yet is because we haven't seen a teaser for Shazam 2 or Black Adam or any of this stuff yet. You know what I mean? Like it'll all be revealed when it's supposed to. You know?
Yeah. Well, it's just kind of it puts you on edge a bit though when you're looking back and it's like.
But Superman and Lois takes the edge off for me. Yeah, you know, I love Henry, but well, I've got a super.
I've got a film coming out of him in what 2 weeks? So
it's a beauty. Like I said, we're at a buffet and we're getting stuffed. And
yes,
bring on more. Keep filling the plate.
All right,
but we'll be talking about this more as the weeks and months go by. And we'll have you, unlike We Got Discovered, we'll actually have you covered with facts when they come out. But until then, Superman is flying higher and higher than ever. And up and away, boys. Until next week.